Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 90 of the Need to Nerd podcast. I'm your host, Heezy, and I'm joined by my co-host, a man of many talents, a man of many interests, but mostly a man getting ready to go to DreamHack San Diego. Petty Friggin' B!
Hey, Spencer. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. I am excited to get to DreamHack San Diego. We've got so much going on. It's awesome.
I've already had three people ask me to have dinner at DreamHack San Diego. And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know if I have that many dinners.
I don't have enough dinners to do dinner with everybody. So.
Well, we did find out that the hotel that we ended up getting does have bottomless mimosas at brunch.
What day?
So, Sunday, when we
if we bomb out.
If we bomb out, which I hope to do better than that. So.
Yeah, it's too bad we won't get experience of bottomless mimosas. For those who don't know, Patty B and I are going to DreamHack San Diego for the Magic Gathering Regional Championship. So. Pretty exciting. We're not going to talk about that too much today, though. Instead, we're going to talk about our video game backlogs, and I'm going to try to complete some of mine on the way to San Diego as I force Patty B to drive the whole way. No, probably not. But that is what we're talking about today. If you want to talk about your video game backlog, head on over to the Discord that's in the show notes. And then also, we did say that as soon as we can, we'll be doing live shows for this show, and that will start happening hopefully next month, but the fourth Thursday of each month after the live show, directly after it, Patty B and I will jump into the Discord for a game night, whether that's just playing Among Us or playing Valheim or Smash or whatever. We'll have a different game that we'll be playing that night. And you can join the Discord to take part in that. Petty B, because...
Yeah, that'll be...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, that'll be sweet. Yeah, I think we also talked about doing some Fall Guys. That was one of the ideas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Around. I'm excited to play that game. Yep. I've never played it before, and I've seen people play it, and it looks super fun.
Yeah, Fall Guys is a fun one, so... That being said, it is Backlog Explosion Day. This means that we're going to expose our backlogs. People are going to leave comments telling us, how have you not finished this game? This game's amazing. How have you not played it yet? And that's okay. The comments drive us forward and get us more views. So, you know, leave a comment. Tell us how dumb we are for not finishing a game. But in all seriousness, I wanted to talk about something that I found really interesting that I did not realize until the last few weeks. And so for our Nerd Fact of the Week, we're going to keep it video game based. Patty, did you know that the Nintendo Switch is already has the longest lifespan of any Nintendo console?
What?
Yes.
That's wild.
From console to console.
When did that come out?
2017. In March.
Huh.
So... Yeah.
That's wild. Okay.
It's already been out for more than 6 years, and the Wii U, which is the second longest lifespan, was just less than 6 years.
Got it.
Blows my mind, man. Like, here's the thing. It's the second most successful Nintendo console ever, following the original Wii.
Yeah.
But it is... It has overtaken Xbox 360 or OG Xbox or even the Game Boy SP. The Game Boy Advance SP is like my favorite console of all time. I listen, like, there's a lot of people that like care a lot about graphics, care a lot about that type of stuff. And don't get me wrong, like, my favorite video game of all time, Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeah, when you play that game in 4K, you're like, this is something different. Like, this is something special. But there's something really special about what the Nintendo Switch did. And there's a reason that it is, you know, still selling so many games, so many consoles still, even though people are sure that we're going to get the next version soon.
Right, and I think I kind of associated the Wii U and the Wii together for Nintendo, right? That there were so many years of Wii. It was a little hard to believe at first, but no, yeah, you're right. That is a fact. That
fun
is
fact.
The longest lifespan of any Nintendo console.
Fun fact, I went and bought our family a Wii for Christmas one year, and I thought the Wii U was literally just the tablet thing, and that was the only mm-hmm. difference, and you just had to buy the tablet for it. So I bought us a Wii, and I was like, I'll buy us the tablet later. Like, we'll go play some Wii games. I did not realize they were different consoles when I bought our Wii that we have downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, too funny.
Yep.
Oh, man, I have to add a game to my backlog. Oh, man. That reminds me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to expose myself real hard on this one, Patty B.
We are like, I'm trying to think of the movie. I think it's Emperor's New Groove, maybe, where it's like, you want to buy a sun? Oh, it's Hercules. You want to buy a sundial?
Yeah.
We're getting exposed here, and it's going to be okay. We'll get through it, Spencer.
So, I want to quickly say, like, well, no, let's move on. Let's go to the main topic. I think it's really cool to, like, just want to give a shout out to the Nintendo Switch and kind of what it's done for video games. The fact that people are so willing to buy, like, a port of a video game they've already played so that they can play it in handheld mode in, like, their car on a drive to Vegas or, like, just in bed. Like, it is what the Nintendo Switch did out of this world. Just A-plus Nintendo. Like, you've always crushed handhelds, but the fact that you were able to turn, invent the hybrid console was sick.
For sure.
This week is exposing our video game backlog. We're going to talk about 3 to 5 games that we still haven't finished or played that we need to, and kind of why they're in our backlog still and things like that. I have a huge video game backlog. There will be multiple games that are not included on this list that we'll get to at kind of the end that I'll give like an honorable mention to. But the reason that I want to do this is that I think that people feel a lot of guilt when they don't finish a game and they move on to the next one, or when they don't have the time to play a game that they really want to play and things like that. And, you know, I think that Mason Clark, former co-host of this show and my current co-host of Constructive Criticism, one of the things that he talks about all the time is like, once I've gotten my value out of the game, if I'm done, I'm done. That's okay. And I think that people need to recognize that. And like, if you're a completionist, you're a completionist. If you're a story person, you're a story person. And just recognizing the type of video game person that you are can really help influence like what your backlog looks like.
For sure. It can be pretty tricky too, especially with video games costing, $60 for a game. I can see how it's really easy to feel guilty, right? Like, I spent this money on the game, I need to finish it, and that's, yeah, I can see where that guilt comes from, and hopefully, we can help you make sure that's not the case.
Yeah, let's go to game one in our backlogs first. And I have this on Xbox One and on Switch. So, and I, like, let's start the guilt early. And that is Witcher 3. When I play this game, Patty B, I do a lot of damage. Like, I get really far into it, like, from where I was. But it is a massive, like, 90-hour game. And so it sits in my backlog as something to, like, pick up between other things that I'm doing. And the other thing is just like, I don't have cloud save enabled, so I can't go for my Switch to, does it have cloud save? This is something that we should look up while we're on the show to talk about.
Okay. So while you're looking that up, does it have cloud save?
It does. This just might have changed how long this will be in my backlog.
Okay.
So,
first off, what is cloud save?
Yeah, so Witcher 3 supports cross-platform cloud saves, sort of, is what it says. the open world game servers mean you can log into the game and have your save data follow you from version to version, which means that I can't have my save file. I need to look into it more, but I can both play it on my Xbox and my Switch. And since I own both versions, I think I'm going to be okay. But one of the things is like, I have different moods, Patty B, about how I want to interact and play video games. So, like, a really good example of this is if I'm playing in bed because we're watching, like, I want something to play while I'm, like, listening to a TV show or listening to an audiobook, that is a different type of game that I'll play that I want to be invested in and, like, do stuff. So, like, really good examples of this is Valheim came out for the Xbox just barely. And I have a controller for my phone and Xbox Cloud Gaming on my phone. And, like, Valheim or Stardew Valley or these type of games, they're really easy to, like, play and still engage in your audiobook or in the TV show or, like, talk to my wife. I don't find that to be true with Witcher 3 unless you're doing a specific thing, which you have to do in this game, which is going from town to town, saving them and stuff like that. But, like, doing the quest and following along the story, I want to be engaged in that story. And so it kind of just depends on what I'm trying to do at the time, on how much I'm going to engage with Witcher 3, and how much time I have to engage in the story, because a huge part of the reason I love this game is that I love the Witcher story. Like, I have, I think, 3 or 4 of the audiobooks. I love the show. We talk about the show on this podcast. And Witcher 3 is just, I think, a lot of people's opinions, one of the best games ever made. And so I really want to experience it all the way through and not, you know, give it less than it deserves.
Gotcha, so. Yeah. So the story of Witcher 3, it takes up the space that you're using for your story space of while you're listening
to the show. Like Valheim is a really good counterexample where, like, I can play Witcher 3 in bed. I have it on the Switch. Mm-hmm. But unless I'm going from town to town and, like, doing the travel stuff, like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to do that when I could play something that I get a lot of satisfaction out of that is, I don't know, less story intensive. And it's funny because, like, I'm a very story-driven person in video games. I care a lot about that. But there are a few things that, like, I care a little bit less about that for. Your first game is one that is in my backlog, too. And I have a really hard time playing it. I want you to talk about this one.
Yeah, so my first game, I've talked about it, I think, on previous Need to Nerds, is Red Dead Redemption number 1. And some of you may be asking, Patty, why is this still in your backlog? It's like, I'm still fighting Xbox Live. I still can't access that account. So those kind of games have been on the backlog of things that I can't quite do through other methods. Knows. I really enjoyed, like, Grand Theft Auto and kind of those open world games where you just get to just kind of mess around. And actually, rewatching Yellowstone has given me that, like, itch to cowboy. And so that's it's kind of why I still... And I just heard it's one of the best games made.
Can I ask, have you put any minutes into Red Dead 2?
No, 0.
Dude.
Should I play that one first?
Oh, so I want to talk about this. Because if we're going to talk about these video games, let's talk about them. So, Red Dead 2 is a prequel to Red Dead 1. However, one of the things that was told to me when I was playing the Mass Effect series is to just skip 1 because the mechanics are not as good. And I ignored that because I really wanted to experience the whole series, and I'm really glad that I did, because now I can't go back and play Mass Effect 1. Like, there's no way that I could do that. That being said, I literally have Mass Effect Legacy Edition or whatever it's called, and I will play through 1 again on that. But I think that they fixed it. I tried to play Red Dead 1 after playing Red Dead 2, and I'm struggling. Like, it's on my Xbox, and I really struggle with this one because Red Dead 2 is so good. Like, it's like going, it's like going from driving a Ferrari, or, you know what, actually, have you ever like, maybe you haven't. I did this thing once where, like, I got to go and try to drive a Dodge Viper and you, like, pay money to go to, like, a racetrack, right?
Yeah, out at the Salt Flats.
Yeah. And it's, like, going from that to driving, like, my Nissan Versa. Worse than that, though. Like, a Toyota Corolla. Like, it is so unbelievable in the differences on just how it feels that I'm really struggling with it, which is funny because, like, one of my favorite parts of the game that I don't want to spoil for you happens at the end, which is, like, right before, like, as it catches up to Red Dead 1.
Got it. Yeah, part of me, too, with wanting to play Red Dead 1, like, first, is it gives me that experience that other people had who played it before, right? Like, just say they were playing Red Dead 1, and then they played Red Dead 2 later on when that came out. It gives me that, like, that shared experience. So even though the combat may be worse, even though it's, you know, there may be some things mechanically.
I agree.
There's part of me that, like, cares about having that shared experience with folks.
I think you're doing it the right way. I think I did it the wrong way. Like, somebody was like, hey, Spencer, you should... It was actually a Magic tournament. I won a bunch of prize money in store credit to a store. And I, like, it was at the time I was sponsored and didn't need cards. And I was like, I don't know what to spend this on. And somebody was like, hey, have you played Red Dead 2? I think that it would be, like, one of your favorite video games of all time. And I was like, no, but I haven't played Red Dead 1. They're like, it's actually a prequel. You can just play this one first. So I think you're actually doing it right. So...
Cool.
I love it.
What's your game two?
Yeah, so for me, the game two is one that... I should grab my Switch really quick. Hold on. Sorry, I wanted to grab my Switch so that I could talk about, like... When I say, like, it's in my backlog or that I've been playing it... Excuse me. I want to be clear, like, what I mean by that. So, for example... So I think this is only counting this Switch and not transferring the save file. I'm actually positive on that, is, like, just on my new Switch that I got for Christmas last year, I've spent more than 5 hours on Dragon Quest XI Exclusive Age Definitive Edition. And if I'm not mistaken, I am well over, like, I want to say I'm over 20 hours on the game. I might be over 30 hours on the game. And it's just one of those things where, like, the game is so big and so long. It is one of those games that I can play in bed because I can level up my characters really easily. It has auto combat. It has a lot of the features that I really like that let me do that. And the only reason this game is actually in my backlog is I actually got stuck. Where I had to actually go to a previous save file because I got into a fight that I could not win. And I had not saved at a good save point before. And I had to go backwards.
Gotcha. So Dragon Quest, is that like it's a turn-based battler, right?
Yeah, it kind of has like an option that doesn't feel that way for Dragon Quest XI. But yeah, it is. Okay. Have you played any of the Dragon Quests?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's like a classic JRPG turn-based game. There's actually one of the most popular videos here on this YouTube channel, and Patty B, I encourage you to watch it, is my review of the Dragon Quest XI demo. There's a free demo that let you play through quite a bit of the beginning of the main story, and then it transfers your save data over if you like the game. So, like, if you buy the game, it takes your demo data and moves it right over.
And that's convenient.
Yeah, it is a really good game that just is another one of those, like, 60 to 80 hour games. I mean, I bet it's more than that. I bet it's like a 110 hour game if you do everything. And it is one that I go back to a lot. Like, I think I play this game, you know, this month even. I just, you know, I don't always have time. And as I jump around, it goes further and further kind of down the list. But, you know, when Hero came out for Smash Bros., it was one that I was interested in. I remember really loving Dragon Quest Monsters on my Game Boy Color, and like being really into that. And then different Dragon Quest games, you know, I have come and gone and I played them, but this is like a really, really good video game that if, while it's in my backlog still, it's a really long one. It takes a lot of dedication. Like I said, there is a free demo that transfers your save data. Definitely one worth checking out. What about you? What's your next one?
Yeah, so I marked my second game as actually Super Smash, right? You mentioned it there a little bit. And some of you may be asking, Patty, why is this still in your backlog?
How does Smash be in your backlog? That's an interesting...
Right? I can't find my Switch to save my life. Like, I don't know where it ended up in our house or how it has been gone for a minute. There are a lot of games I'd like to play on the Switch, but I just need to find it first. And why I mentioned this game specifically, recently been playing a ton of Magic, right? Trying to get ready for the RC. And you know, we've got another podcast on our network here with Smash Through. You mentioned a lot of lessons that you've taken from Smash that you've attributed to Magic. And, you know, I want to kind of get a taste of that and tap into that resource.
Yeah. I think I made a post about Smash Brothers, about video games in general, and, like, my favorite video games of all time on Facebook. And I'm, like, really stingy about Facebook friends, so I'm going to just read what I said rather than people trying to add me on Facebook, because I probably won't add you. Hold on. Yeah, so one of the things that, like, you know, it was commenting on a memory that I had about, like, my favorite games of all time. And, you know, in that memory, I talked about, like, Magic the Gathering, KOTOR. And then the third game just 2 years ago that I said was Smash Brothers Ultimate. And what I did for this new post is, like, I want to take out games like Magic the Gathering. And I want to just talk about, like, what I think are my favorite or what I believe are the best five video games ever made. And even without the competitive edge that Smash gives, it is lower on the list this time because of that. But I still think that, like, it offers so much in so many different ways to so many people. I actually have Smash Bros. Ultimate as the fourth best video game ever. Not just, like, because from a competitive aspect, I actually removed that for this. Like, I believe that game is that good. You know, there is the way that you unlock characters is up to you. So, Patty, if you know, there are multiple options. You can unlock characters by doing classic mode, which is how I unlocked them the first time. You can unlock characters by X number of hours played. You can unlock characters in what's called the World of Light or Spirit mode, where you literally battle the character to unlock them in there, or like save them in the story mode. And you know, I don't know, like, that game is unbelievable, and I think that people take it for granted because they think it's just like another fighting game, but it has like a real story. It has multiple really cool modes. Yeah, I mean, this week I think that Multiverses, the DC Multiverses game, is getting shut down. The another one of the platform fighters, and you know, it has a bigger IP in a lot of ways than Nintendo to stand on. The thing is that Nintendo does such a good job, and you know, competitive Smashers will hate me for saying this, of appealing to lots of different people. You know, I think that what would be really cool one day is to talk about the things that we would want from the next Smash game when the new console is announced. That's an episode we should definitely do.
Cool. Yeah, it looks like I've dug into that a little bit. The Multiversus is going to be relaunched in 2024, but that's still...
It's a big hit. Like,
yeah.
You know, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is one that I know that I have on my Switch that's, like a really fun one. Like, if people are intimidated by Smash because of the history of Smash, like, you can pull up and, like, it's a really good party game. That's another thing I didn't even mention about Smash is, like, you know, it's just such a good party game, so.
Yep.
For game three, I have Mass Effect Andromeda. This is one that I actually am exclusively playing in bed when I want to play story mode in bed. So, people might be like, what does that even mean? I wanted to play a story game where, like, I'm wearing my headphones and my wife is doing something. I wanted a game to do that in. Like really engage with, but, like, there's a word for this in, like, that you, it's, parallel play. Where my wife is doing something and I'm doing something separate. We're next to each other in bed. But, like, if you play a video game before bed, you actually don't have that much time to play it. Like, it's, like, 30 minutes at a time. And so the reason this is still on my backlog is, one, it has to be in that moment, like, where we're doing that. And then, two, I only get to play it 30 minutes or so at a time before, like, my sleeping medication kicks in or whatever. I will say this, though, because I know that I wanted to do a review for this game for the YouTube channel after I did my big, you know, my big series on the trilogy. This game is not as bad as people say. I've enjoyed every minute so far. It's just different. So, what about you? What's your game three?
Yeah. So my game three, actually, it ties in. The reason I still want to play it is they recently had a show come out on HBO Max for it, and that's The Last of Us. Right. I've heard a lot of great things about this game. It's in my backlog just for time concerns right now. I think once I might watch the show first.
Isn't it a PlayStation exclusive?
It's possible.
Oh, you know what? It might be on Steam now.
Just like not, yeah, like it's old enough that
it might be on Steam now. That's a good. I'm curious though, if you, and this is just like me asking you a question, like, why would you watch the show if you wanted to play the game?
FOMO. I am not
watching the show because I want to play the game. And gotcha. Like, video games are my preferred medium for storytelling in a lot of different ways. And if it's like that good of a story, so, like, for example, like, I would love them to make a KOTOR TV show. I think that it would be one of the best things ever. I think KOTOR has one of the very best stories ever told in video games. If somebody told me that, there's not a chance that I wouldn't play the video game before I watch the show. And that's because of me and how, like, I like to consume media. But the reason I'm not watching, and behind the scenes, Patty B sent me a text that I did not respond to. It's like, we should review Last of Us. And I didn't respond because I was like, no, we shouldn't, because I want to play the game. And I'm going to buy a PlayStation 4. So I'm literally just not watching the show. Like, that's not happening.
Gotcha. Okay.
Patty B just learned this live, but that is actually why I didn't respond to you. Is,
I see.
I'm actually shocked that you want to watch the show if the whole premise of the video game is how good the story is. I don't know. I also haven't played the game, so I don't know.
Spencer, I think you underestimate my love for Pedro Pascal.
I think that you underestimate my love for Pedro Pascal.
Fighting words, we've been exposed. No. yeah, I don't think it doesn't bug me as much. I don't know. Like, I really don't mind it. Because I think either way, I think it might be backwards compatible enough where, you know, I can say, oh, they did that here. Oh, they did that here. Like, it goes both ways, I feel.
Yeah, I could be a total snob here, and I just want to appreciate it through its original medium.
Mm-hmm.
For what it's worth, Red Dead Redemption probably would be an insane TV show. Like, straight up, probably would just be insane. Last of Us is $60 on Steam right now, and you can get the deluxe version for $70. So
does that have one? Is that that's just one?
It is just part one. I think part two is a PS5 exclusive, isn't it?
It came out in 2020. So it should be available for PS4.
Isn't that when the next-gen consoles came out?
Is it? Has it been 3 years that we've been waiting on a PS5?
So here's the thing, is that one of the reasons that so few new-gen things are in our backlog is that both PlayStation and Xbox just haven't released anything because of, COVID.
Mm-hmm. No, it was pushed to the PS4.
It's on both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, I'm not yucking your yum, man. I was genuinely curious,
Yeah.
We have the same game for it. Did you copy my game for?
No, we've talked about this game for, and if you were going to talk about it,
we're going to talk about it together. So let's talk about the Hogwarts Legacy. So before we get into this, I feel like it's our due diligence to mention She Who Must Not Be Named.
Mm-hmm.
I have really strong opinions on this problem that we won't get into in this podcast, but I believe that if you want to support trans lives, the best way to do it is not to boycott a video game that the original source material probably helped a lot of people become more willing to listen to others and, be kind to others.
Right.
Even if it is the classic argument of hate the artist, not their art. And, what I'll say is I'm going to play Hogwarts Legacy. And it is not because I support a person that is
She Who Must Not Be Named.
Yeah, She Who Must Not Be Named. It is because this is a part of my life that I've always wanted to experience. And I can do more add better things than just boycotting a video game. And that's okay. If you have a different opinion, and I think this is one of the things that's really cool about, not really cool, it actually kind of sucks about both morality and ethics, is that I promise you that everything that you've ever bought from Nestle is worse for humanity than buying Hogwarts Legacy.
Right. There are a ton of those things where it's X product is backed by X thing, or person believes X thing. Just enjoy your life, support our trans friends, talk to your congress people, right there, because they are going through a lot right now.
No, right? Especially in the US, it's a lot. And we have as people who play Magic the Gathering, we have a lot of trans friends in the Magic community here local in Utah. And so one of the things that I was to say before we talk about the video game is I would encourage listeners to you probably know someone who's trans, even if you don't know it, and figuring out who those people are and ask their opinions on what can I do to help, because being such a minority where they're less than 3% of people, they have no voice at all. Nobody within politics or within, not just in the US, by the way, this is worldwide, there's right. just not a voice for these people, so we should do what we can to support them. That being said, why is this in my backlog? I didn't have a job. I couldn't buy it yet. This is a different reason than it's in your backlog. But I couldn't justify spending this much or the time to play it. And especially because I will probably play it with my wife, because she also, you probably will too.
Yep.
So we'll take turns. It is simply in my backlog for I didn't want to spend this money right away. I also had a moral dilemma if I really wanted to buy the game. And then now we're just at the point where it's I do. What's cool is that I don't have to make a video about this for the YouTube channel. I can just play it. The hype has died down. The controversy has died down.
Mm-hmm.
I just get to play this with my wife, and I'm really excited for it. I also was kind of turned off from the game. The number of people that were joking about committing hate crimes really turned me off to this game in a lot of ways too. I think I posted this to either Twitter or Facebook, but like, I don't think jokes about like just murdering kids is funny. And the number of people that wanted to do that in this game or joked about doing this in this game was really weird to me. Like, I want to go ride a hippogriff. Like, are we for real? Like, holy crap. I want to ride a hippogriff. The bestiary, like, the fact that you get to build your own, like, suit, like a suitcase full of, you know, animals and, like, getting to explore the different common rooms and, like, stuff like that. I don't know. The game seems hype as all can be. What about you, Patty B?
That was, that, speaking of the common rooms, that was actually one part of this game that was actually like a I think a net positive, was just like all the TikToks about the different common rooms and what, you know, what people would be doing in there, like Hufflepuffs the stoners, you know, Slytherin's where the party's at, and just Ravenclaw has the potions. It was a great time on TikTok with that.
Potions.
Yeah, potions. For sure.
I didn't realize how much of a Ravenclaw I was until those memes came out. I was like, oh, I am a Ravenclaw. Oh,
yeah, that's me. Yeah.
I am a Ravenclaw. I knew I was a Ravenclaw, but I am a Ravenclaw.
Yeah. Yep.
You're a Hufflepuff, right?
Gryffindor was, yes. Yep. And how Gryffindor was kind of left out.
Yeah, they're not invited. They're, yeah, they're tattletales. They don't get it. Exactly. No. Let's help on my potions. I gotta ask, is Shelby Shelby, for those who know, is she's a Hufflepuff too? Oh man, my wife's Hufflepuff. I'm so alone. I'm like on an island here.
It's okay, we love you. That's you know.
I mean, you guys love everybody. Okay. That's not special. I'm not special.
You are special, but for different
reasons. You say that to everyone, you're a Hufflepuff. Can I ask, like, this was a game before the controversy that we talked about on the show. And I gotta know, like, you weren't on the show when, like, this game was announced. It had, like, a multiple delays. What most excites you about getting this game and, like, playing it? And, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about, the reason it's not on your backlog, you don't have a next-gen console. You literally can't play this game till May anyway.
Yeah, no, I can't play this game yet. I'd like to. And ironically, we've kind of swapped spots. I'm now currently unemployed, so that's also a reason why I'm not buying.
When's your birthday?
A video game, December. So we're a ways out.
That's a worse birthday.
It can be. It's been interesting.
Don't pretend it's not.
Being 5 days after Christmas is not.
I gotta ask though. Like, what is
my family did. To be fair, my family did what they could. So I kind of treated St. Patrick's Day, since, you know, Patrick, kind of as a second birthday, just because I was Patrick and it's super special. So
we're doing a birthday for Maxwell this summer because his birthday is in December. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just not fun. Like, it's not, it is unreasonable on us as parents to, like, do a birthday and do Christmas and do, like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And then also, like, it's not fun for Maxwell. Like, all of his friends can't come because, like, they're doing different holiday parties all the time. I mean, obviously, you know, but. You didn't answer my question, though. Like, what about this game excited you? Like, what are you really excited to dive into?
Just exploring Hogwarts. Like, I think for. You said it. Like, I want to ride a hippogriff. I want to go and check out Hagrid's area and explore the haunted forest. Like, there's just such a it's made for this open world style of game, and that excites me.
I hope that they're
to be in that world.
I don't know enough about this game, but, like, if there is not Quidditch matches, I hope that there's a full DLC for Quidditch seasons at the school, where, like, you get to try out for the Quidditch team, make the Quidditch team, like. It's a whole nother game, but, like, I think that'd be, like, the best version of DLC for this game.
Would be a cool DLC.
Did you play Harry Potter Quidditch on Xbox original?
No.
Ooh, man. See, there's another one that you gotta add to your backlog. That's a fun one.
I know you sent me the, I think the Sorcerer's Stone version of the game.
Oh my gosh! Why would never send somebody
a physical copy in the mail?
Yes, that's how I did that. Did you play that?
Nah, it's still on my list. You're right. I was kind of like, I don't know if I have 3 to 5 games, like, as I was filling out the show notes earlier, and Spencer's like, you have 3 to 5 games.
Everyone doesn't think they have a video game backlog, but they definitely do. Yeah. That Harry Potter game, the first playthrough is, like, really long, and by the way, for listeners, because, like, we're having a side conversation now, I'm talking about the Game Boy Color version of Sorcerer's Stone. It's very specific to the Game Boy Color, and it is a JRPG, like turn-based Japanese RPG version of Harry Potter that is very specific to the Game Boy Color. It is one of the best video games ever. I actually have it. I would never download a game illegally, but I might have ripped it from a Game Boy. I don't even know if it's possible. I definitely have it on this computer. It's definitely one of the things that I always download to, like, play for fun. You should definitely play that one. So
for sure. I remember, that's different than what I thought. I thought it was the EA game that they had released alongside of that.
So
I had played a little bit of...
The PlayStation game is the one you're thinking of.
Or is it PlayStation? Yeah.
Because the PlayStation got the exclusive... No, PS1. I'm positive. PS2 wasn't even out when Harry Potter 1 came out, man. Is it PS2? Now I'm going to be wrong. The Harry Potter games were PlayStation exclusive. I do not believe they came out for the Xbox.
Got it. Okay.
But I believe that they came out for the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance. But the games were different.
Gotcha. Okay.
You're Googling it. You got to tell the listeners.
Sorry. Yeah. It was on the PlayStation for the.
So you're talking about Sorcerer's
Stone, the first one.
So hold on, but they're different games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the version that I gave you a hard copy of
is a different game.
It is a different game.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about our game fives. Mm-hmm. I had a really hard time picking my game five. My backlog is really big. I'm picking Mario Galaxy.
Okay.
So I have a hard copy of Super Mario 3D All-Stars. And while I haven't finished Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy is, like, so close in a lot of people's hearts, and, like, for a lot of them, it's, like, their favorite Mario game. And I had an NES. I played all of the Marios from just all the way to Mario 64. We didn't get a GameCube. We got an Xbox instead. Then we got a Wii. And I didn't like the Wii. Like, I didn't enjoy the motion controls. It wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I missed out on Mario Sunshine because we didn't have a GameCube. I missed out on Mario Galaxy, Mario Galaxy 2. And, like, I've really been enjoying playing the Mario backlog of games that I missed. And I honestly... I think that Mario Galaxy, its love and its affection that the world has for it, means I just need to play it. And the reason I say that is, like, people won't give up their babies, right? And I think Mario Odyssey is one of the best video games ever made for the Switch. Mm-hmm. Not just Mario games. Like, I actually think it's, like, holy crap. Like, this is the golden standard now. Replacing Mario 64 for, like, platform gaming. And, you know, I need to play Mario Galaxy because I think for a lot of people, that's their golden standard for platform gaming.
Gotcha.
And it is also just such a different take on the genre that I really need to do it. And the reason it's still in my backlog is, like, platform gaming isn't, like, really high on my priority list, even though I really enjoy it. Like, if a new Mario came out tomorrow, I would play it. But it's really hard for me to touch platform gaming in my backlog, especially because, like, I haven't done the Spyro trilogy, and we have a copy of that in our house for the Switch. I haven't done the Crash Bandicoot series because, like, I'm not a PlayStation gamer, and that's in our house on the Switch for my wife because she was a PlayStation gamer, so we bought her those. So it's really hard for me to get to this game, even though I know that I want to play it. And then also when I played it, I was playing it on stream for a little while, and I got stuck, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, because the game is different, but I don't know. What about you? What is your game 5?
Gotcha. Well, this one we've talked about a little bit on the show too, is Pokemon Ruby. And it's still my backlog because I have no good reason. I've been exposed. There's no reason why I should not have played more of this game. And maybe I'll take some turns while we're driving, to play some handheld gaming.
Do you?
I've heard it's one of the better Pokemon games as well. So that's,
oh my gosh. My son erased my file of Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire literally today. And no, it doesn't bug me. Like, I just recognize the fact that my kid's more into Pokemon than I am. I'm letting him erase my save files because the Switch, you know, while having that, he doesn't understand that, like, the cartridge saves the game back then, because, like, to him, the save file is on the console. So he doesn't understand, and, like, it's not worth the fight. So, like, right. I let him erase Sun and Moon. I let him erase Pokemon X. That one actually hurt.
You were close on that one. I think you had talked about, like, finishing that game.
No, I've beaten that game.
You beat it? Okay, cool.
No, like, I lost my Greninja. I lost my... That one hurt.
Sorry to bring up some painful stuff here.
But, like, I'm letting him replay Sun and Moon. Like, I'm okay with him doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is he actually asked to play Soul Silver, which is the most expensive Pokemon game you can buy used. And yep. I was like, you absolutely cannot play this. I haven't beaten it yet. And also, you will literally never... You will have to save up your money to buy this game to play. Like, you will never, literally never get to play this. You will buy your own copy.
When you're able to buy your own copy, you can play it.
Yeah, you're not erasing my save file. I for what it's worth, in my Pokemon rankings, I have... They're so weird. I think people will just call me a boomer, and that's fine. But, like, my number one is Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that comes close to it is actually Legends Arceus, like the new game on the Switch. But Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, like, does this thing, Patty, where you get all of the best benefits of the GBA without, I don't know, having to go backwards. It is not a game I replay a ton. But, like, contests were amazing. There's, like, multiple game modes. Man, I'm going to play this now. You actually just, like, messed me up. My whole backlog just, like, dropped.
It got shifted down one. Dude,
so one of the things that happens is I actually play Fire Red every year.
Okay.
And, like, I just do it as fast as possible and just play it.
Yeah.
That game is just, like, gets the benefits of this game. I'm also really glad that you said Ruby or Sapphire instead of Emerald, because while the Battle Frontier is cool, I actually think the contests are the coolest entire part of this game, and really makes you balance your move set as you beat the story to both beat contests and trainers. So,
yeah.
That's a good one. I'm jealous. I'm jealous, and then I also literally... I'm going to go grab my Retroid Pocket 2. I actually was going to give you my Retroid Pocket 2 before this podcast. I was literally going to hand it to you. Now I'm wondering if I'm going to do that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I actually am still going to do that.
Bring it to San Diego.
Okay. So, how many games do you think are in your backlog that you didn't talk about, Patty B? And well, I want to be clear that before this podcast, you were curious if you even had 5. I bet now you think that you have like 15, right?
Yeah, there's at least 8 off the top of my head that I like. I pulled up a few lists, right? Like, some things you brought up. Like, there's problems when I was like a kid, and I never didn't really ever get to play KOTOR, and like Metroid Prime. Like there,
I will drive the whole way to Vegas and San Diego if it means you get to play experience KOTOR. I'm not even joking. It's that good. I will just sacrifice my body.
No, you're fine. We'll find some time. We're breaking it up. So, but just like going back and just looking at some of those, even just like I searched like best video games of all time, right? Like, oh shoot, I didn't play that one. Oh, I didn't play that one. That's really good. I should like. There's so many, and I think that maybe that like is why we get so many like games in our backlogs too, is like there's just so many.
Well, I think it's part of the guilt, right? Is there. People feel like they have to play every AAA game that comes out and or within a genre, and I don't think that's true. Like, you know, we before the show we were talking about Triangle Strategy with Matt Kling, and I'm going to finish Triangle Strategy. It's one of the games in my backlog, but it is like a graphic novel with turn-based tactical strategy built in. And I believe the story is good enough for me to play it, but it's going to be hard for me to get there. You know, I've talked about Pokemon Legends Arceus is like, I haven't even finished that game, and it's already up there for me. The reason I haven't finished it, my son got into Pokemon and won't let, every time I start the game, he's like, oh, I want to play that. Because it's secretly his favorite Pokemon game, and he doesn't know it. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
I would say that my backlog is huge. Like, Chrono Trigger is like really high up there. Also just like a lot of PlayStation games that I like didn't get a playthrough, are really high up there for me. I want to experience a lot of things, and it's so funny, right? 'Cause like people will, I don't know, downplay video games or downplay a story because it wasn't on their console without ever experiencing it. And to me, I don't know. I just want to experience stuff. I want to try different things. Some of the top ones that I didn't mention, just because I want to shout them out, is like I am partway through Red Dead 1. I don't even know if you can beat Stardew Valley, but like it's one of those games that, you know, is still in my backlog to like keep playing. I want to get as far as I can in Ring Fit Adventure for the Switch. It's like a workout game. And then I don't own a PlayStation, but I might buy one just to play the Spider-Man games. Like, straight up, they're not in my backlog because I don't own a PlayStation, but like, I might literally buy a PlayStation to play these games. Yeah. Any that you want to shout out?
So like I God of War the recent ones, like Ragnarok, things with him and his kid, like that's been kind of interesting to me. I'd never played one of the God of War games. Some of the older like PlayStation games I we all know I like grew up in a very religious household, didn't get to play many rated R games.
M games.
M games.
I didn't play M games either.
Yeah. And I don't know if the Uncharted games were, but that was one, a series that I thought I'd have lots of fun with. So, some things there. More recently, what looked interesting, it was Ghost of Tsushima. I think that's another PlayStation game that just like was really highly rated that just really haven't had the chance to play. It's on my backlog.
All right. Patty B doesn't know I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask our listeners to expose their video game backlogs. I want you to post the 5 games in your backlog that people will be the most surprised about. And then I will give out $300 on an Amazon gift card that is enough to literally buy a Switch to the person of my choosing. I'll choose them. I'm going to... it's my money. Leave a comment on the YouTube video. So if you're listening on podcast form, head on over to the YouTube channel. Leave a comment on this podcast. I want to see people's video game backlogs. I think that, like we said, there's so much guilt. One of the ones that I didn't mention, for example, that I actually was waiting for is like Mega Man Battle Network has like 6 games, and they just came out on the Switch, I think this month or last month. And I'm going to go buy a hard copy of that and like play that. So like whatever it is, I'm going to personally judge your backlog. And then whoever I think is the spiciest backlog, you know, I'd love to give you $300 Amazon gift card, and we'll even have you on the podcast to talk about like your progress on it. So
that'd be sweet.
If you also want to leave a YouTube comment suggesting a topic for the next topic for the podcast is like a pretty huge help. You know, we're supposed to do a podcast meeting every 2 months. We've missed the last one. But, you know, next week, Patty, we're going to sit down and talk about, like, the things we're excited about for DreamHack. And then we have to sit down, you know, on our way to Vegas and, like, break down, like, our next one. But if we had some YouTube comments, it would really help us know what the listeners want to hear about, the type of things that they want to do. Maybe there's a new series they want us to start. Maybe there's all kinds of different things, so...
Right. I mean, we go off of the things that we're enjoying and that we are interested in talking about. But, you know, we also want to hear from you. Right. That's important to us. So
if people want to tell you how ashamed they are that you haven't finished Pokemon Ruby, where can they do that?
They can do that on my Twitter at PattyBMTG. I would love to hear everything I need to get into and play. Let it come. I'm ready for the shame. Shame bell, you know. Shame.
Yeah, you can find me at Spencer13H on the podcast at NeeTurnerPod, and then the parent company at He's the Game Media. Like, subscribe, review. Those are the best ways to support the show. Yeah, that is going to do it for this week's episode of the NeeTurnerPod podcast. Patty, I'm excited to just play video games now. Like, I literally... I'm going to tuck my daughter into bed here in a second. And then I'm going to play a game after this. So thanks for doing this episode with me.
Yeah, of course. That sounds good. It's kind of been show season. So yeah, talking about video games kind of gives me that itch too.
So, all right. Thank you everybody so much for listening. We'll see you guys all next time with another episode of the Need to Nerd podcast.